Hi guys, and welcome back to Conversations with the Facade Nigeria, and a grand welcome back to Legislative Council. It is a new series that we just started on our podcast, and we're chronicling proceedings of Legislative Council from as far back as Lagos Colony and also Nigeria as well. So if you're just listening for the first time, the first episode dropped 2 weeks ago, and this is the second episode. And not to waste too much of your time, as usual, and to get right into it. So in this episode, we're looking at a different thing, not the proceedings per se, but we're going to be looking at ordinances that were passed in the Legislative Council in the year 1887. Yes, you heard that right. Yeah. So the first one we're looking at is, so sit back and, you know, you're going in for a long ride. Yeah, so the first we're looking at is an ordinance to allow and confirm certain expenditure for the service of the Colony of Lagos for the year 1886. Preamble. Whereas the actual expenditure of the colony upon certain establishments and services during the year 1886 has exceeded the estimates and vote for that year in respect of the same establishment and services by sums amounting in the aggregate to £10,673.09. And whereas it is expedient to sanction such excess, enactment be therefore enacted by the governor of the colony of Lagos with the advice and consent of the Legislative Council thereof as follows. Expenditure shown in schedule sanctioned. The expenditure during the year 1886 set forth in the schedule to this ordinance amounting in the aggregate to the sum of £10,673.09 is hereby allowed and confirmed, and the sums shown in the said schedule to compose the said aggregate sum shall be deemed to have been appropriated to the purposes to which they respectively appear in the said schedule to have been applied and to have been charged upon the revenues of the colony as from date of the supply ordinance, Colony of Lagos 1886 respectively. Short title, this ordinance may be cited as the Supplementary Supply Ordinance 1887, passed in the Legislative Council this 20th day of May in the year of our Lord 1887. So the clerk of the Legislative Council for when this ordinance was passed was G.B. Haddon Smith, and the acting administrator at that particular point was Frederick Evans, who was an esquire with title CMG. He was the acting administrator of Lagos Colony at that particular point. Yeah. So the schedule included the expenditure, establishment, so salaries, which were fixed, £293.08.05. Salaries, provisional and temporary, £79.19.11. Allowances, £29.10.10. Contingencies, £342.06. Amounting to £744.19.08. Services, which were exclusive of establishment, Governor's Department, £5.19.09. Post Office Department, £121.11.09. Public Works Department, £4,627.08.11. Habermaster's Department, £110.16.4. Government versus, £27.17.01. Judicial Department, £4.04.0. Constabulary Department, £219.13.02. Prisons Department, £64.07.0. Medical Department, £299.15.07. Transport Department, £374.16.09. Aborigines Department, £1,263.10.01. Miscellaneous, £1,068.14.08. Pensions, £1,829.14.04. Amounting to £9,928.09.05. And in total, both for establishment and services, £10,673.01. The second ordinance that we're looking at passed under acting administrator Frederick Evans. An ordinance to promote the maintenance of discipline on board Her Majesty's ships. Preamble: whereas it is expedient that the conveyance of strong drinks on board any of Her Majesty's ships be subject to the control of the officers commanding the same, and whereas it is also expedient to provide for the punishment of persons guilty of complicity in desertion from Her Majesty's ships, enactment, be it enacted by the Governor of the Colony of Lagos, with the advice and consent of the Legislative Council thereof, as follows: strong drinks not to be conveyed on board any of Her Majesty's ships without the consent of the commanding officer. A penalty on offenders: it shall not be lawful for any person to convey on board any of Her Majesty's ships or vessels any spirituous or fermented liquor of any description without the previous consent of the officer commanding the same, and any person who shall convey on board any such ship or vessel as aforesaid any spirituous or fermented liquor of any description without such previous consent as aforesaid, or shall approach or hover about any such ship or vessel for the purpose of conveying any spirituous or fermented liquor of any description on board the same without such previous consent, or for the purpose of delivering without such previous consent any spirituous or fermented liquor of any description to any person on board the same, shall be guilty of an offence, and upon conviction thereof, before a district commissioner, shall be liable to a penalty not exceeding £10, or in default of payment, to imprisonment, with or without hard labour, for any period not exceeding 6 months. Power to search both for and seize strong drinks under certain circumstances. It shall be lawful for any officer in Her Majesty's service, or warrant or petty officer of the Navy, or non-commissioned officer of Marines, with or without seamen or persons under his command, to search any boat or vessel approaching or hovering about, or having approached or hovered about any of Her Majesty's ships or vessel, under circumstances giving rise to a reasonable suspicion of an offence under the first section of this ordinance being intended, and if any spirituous or fermented liquor of any description be found in or upon such boat or vessel, to see such spirituous or fermented liquor, and the same shall be forfeited to Her Majesty. Penalty for complicity in desertion from Her Majesty's ships: whosoever shall by any means directly or indirectly procure, move, command, persuade, incite, counsel, or aid, or attempt to procure, move, command, persuade, incite, counsel, or aid any officer, seaman, or marine in Her Majesty's service to desert or improperly absent himself from his ship or vessel, or shall approach or hover about any of Her Majesty's ships or vessels for the purpose of assisting any such officer, seaman, or marine as aforesaid to desert or improperly absent himself from his ship or vessel, or shall receive, harbor, or maintain any such officer, seaman, or marine, knowing him to have deserted or improperly absented himself from his ship or vessel and intending to assist him to escape being punished for such desertion or absence, shall be guilty of an offense, and upon conviction thereof, before a district commissioner, shall be liable to a penalty not exceeding £10, or in default of payment, to imprisonment, with or without hard labor, for a period not exceeding 3 months. Power to arrest offenders: it shall be lawful for any officer in Her Majesty's service, or any such warrant or petty officer or non-commissioned officer as aforesaid, or any constable or peace officer with or without warrant or other process to apprehend or cause to be apprehended any person offending against any provision of this ordinance, and to forthwith bring him or cause him to be brought before a district commissioner to be dealt with according to law, or secure him or cause him to be secured in an ordinary lock-up house until he can be brought before a district commissioner for the purpose aforesaid. Rewards to informers: the governor may award a portion not exceeding one half of every sum recovered as a penalty from any offender under this ordinance to any person who, by giving information or otherwise, shall have conduced to the conviction of such offender, and, subject to any such award, every sum of money recovered as aforesaid shall be paid to the colonial treasurer as part of the general revenues of the colony. Cost of prosecution: every person convicted of an offence under this ordinance shall be liable to pay the cost of the prosecution. The term governor: In this ordinance, the term governor includes every person for the time being administering the government of the colony. This ordinance may be cited as the Navy Discipline, Drink and Desertion Ordinance 1887. That's a short title. It was passed in the Legislative Council on the 20th of May 1887. And under the clerkship of G.B. Haddon Smith. The next ordinance. An ordinance to consolidate and amend the laws relating to the promotion of education. Preamble. Whereas it is expedient to consolidate and amend the laws relating to the promotion of education, an enactment, be it enacted by the governor of the colony of Lagos, in person, Frederick Evans, Esquire, Acting Administrator, with the advice and consent of the Legislative Council thereof as follows. So there was a repeal of the Gold Coast Ordinances numbers 4 and 9 of 1882 and number 4 of 1883 and rules under number 4 of 1882. So, from and after the commencement of this ordinance, in quote, the Education Ordinance 1882 and all rules thereunder made, in quote, the Education Ordinance 1882, Amendment Ordinance 1882, and in quote, the Education Ordinance Amendment Education Ordinance Amendment Ordinance 1883, shall no longer be of any force in the colony of Lagos, and as regards any effect to be given to them or to any of their respective provisions in the said colony, the same shall be and are hereby repealed. So one interesting thing to note here is that Lagos was separated from the Gold Coast, so that's why shall no longer be of force in the colony of Lagos. In this ordinance, except where and insofar as something in the subject or the context requires some different connotation or meaning, interpretation of terms, the governor includes every person for the time being administering the government of the colony. The inspector of schools or the inspector means the inspector of schools appointed under this ordinance. Sub-inspector of schools or sub-inspector means sub-inspector of schools appointed under this ordinance. The board means the board of education established by this ordinance. Board rules means rules made under this ordinance for the time being in force. Managers includes trustees and governing body, whether consisting of several individuals or of only one and their respective representatives under the board rules. School means private school, that is to say, school which is not under the entire control of the government in the colony. Assisted school means school assisted under this ordinance and the board rules. Infant school means school or department of a school at or in which the highest standard of education is not so high as is requisite for the lowest standard of examination fixed for primary schools by the board rules. Primary school means school or department of a school at or in which the standard of education of the highest class is higher than is requisite for the highest standard of examination fixed for infant schools by the board rules and not higher than is requisite for the highest standard of examination fixed for primary schools by the board rules. Secondary school means school or department of a school at or in which the standard of education of the highest class is higher than is requisite for the highest standard of examination fixed for primary schools by the board rules. Industrial school means school at which either all the pupils or a proportion of them fixed by the board rules devote no less than 10 hours a week to manual labor, that is to say, some handicraft, manufacturing process or agricultural work, or in the case of females, to domestic economy on a plan approved by the board. And training institution means college, school or institution in the colony, not being a college, school or institution under the entire control of the government, at which teachers are specially trained. Appointments and co of education officers. It shall be lawful for Her Majesty to appoint an inspector of schools for the colony, and also a sub-inspector of schools for the colony, and such other educational officers as may be requisite for the purposes of this ordinance and the board rules, or for any of them respectively, and likewise to remove any such officer, and to fill by either promotion or fresh appointment any vacancy that may occur in the office of any such officer through death, incapacity, removal, absence, or other cause. Salaries of education officers. They shall be paid out of the public funds of the colony to the educational officers appointed under this ordinance, such salaries as the Legislative Council shall from time to time by resolution determine, subject to disallowance by Her Majesty. Constitution of Board of Education. There shall be a Board of Education for the colony, which board shall consist of the governor, the members of the Legislative Council, the inspector of schools, and such other persons, not exceeding four in number, as the governor shall nominate in that behalf. Every nomination of a member of the board by the governor shall be for a period of no more than 3 years. Meetings of board. The board shall meet as often as the governor shall think fit to convene it. The governor, or in his absence, such other member of the board as he shall appoint in writing, shall be president of the board. The president and four members of the board, two of whom shall be members of the Legislative Council, shall form a quorum. When the opinions of the members of the board present at the meeting are equally divided, the president, in addition to his vote as a member, shall have a casting vote. The sub-inspector of schools shall act as secretary to the board. Power to board to employ occasional deputy education officers. It shall be lawful for the board from time to time to employ fit and proper persons to perform temporarily or occasionally the duties of educational officers appointed under this ordinance. The remuneration of such deputies, there shall be paid to persons as employed by the board such remuneration from the public funds of the colony as the Legislative Council shall in each instance by resolution determine, subject to disallowance by Her Majesty. Annual grant for educational purposes. It shall be lawful for the Legislative Council to grant annually for educational purposes from the public funds of the colony such sum as it shall deem expedient, and the colonial treasurer shall in every year, out of the public funds of the colony, place at the disposal of the board the amount granted by the Legislative Council for such purposes. Payment of salaries under Section 4. So Section 4 is, they shall be paid, just to recap, they shall be paid out of the public funds of the colony to the educational officers appointed under this ordinance, such salaries as Legislative Council shall from time to time by resolution determine, subject to disallowance by Her Majesty. So payments of salaries under Section 4, we just read, and of remuneration under Section 8, as remuneration of sub-deputies, which read before Section 9, the annual grant of this ordinance shall not be deemed to be educational purposes within the meaning of this section. Power to board out of grant. 1. To assist private schools and training institutions, and 2. To establish scholarships. Subject to the provisions of this ordinance and of the board rules, it shall be lawful for the board with and out of the money so placed at its disposal. 1st. To assist schools and training institutions, and 2nd. To institute scholarships for the purposes mentioned in the 21st section of this ordinance. Power to board to make rules. The board may, subject to the provision of this ordinance, from time to time make, alter, and revoke rules for regulating applications for and the allowance of grants in aid of schools, for fixing the rates of such grants with regard to the payment and the application of such grants with regard to the examination of schools to be assisted under this ordinance and the board rules, and of persons to be employed as teachers at such schools, with regard to granting certificates of competency to such persons, with regard to the books in the nature of records, including account books, to be kept at assisted schools, and the statistics, including accounts, to be furnished to it by the managers and teachers of such schools, with regard to granting aid of training institutions, with regard to the duties of educational officers appointed under this ordinance, and generally not only as is in this ordinance expressly provided, but all such other rules shall it deem necessary for giving effect to the provisions of this ordinance. Such rules, on being approved by the governor and on publication, shall have the same effect as if they were contained in this ordinance. No assistance as to infants under 4. No assistance shall be given to any school under this ordinance or the board rules in respect of any attainment or attendance at school of any child under the age of 4 years. Conditions of assistance to private schools. No grant shall be made under this ordinance or the board rules in aid of any school except under the following conditions: that the property and management of the school be vested in managers having power to appoint and dismiss the teachers and responsible for payment of the teachers' salaries and of all other expenses of the school, that the requirements of the board rules with regard to teachers being certificated be satisfied in the ease of the school in the case of the school. Case of the school, that at the last preceding examination of schools held under the board rules, the school have attained the requisite percentage of proficiency, and that the schools by its rules be at all times open for inspection by the inspector, the sub-inspector, and or any member of the board. Additional conditions in the case of primary schools. And in the case of primary schools, except under the following further conditions, that the school be open to children without distinction of religion or race, that the reading and writing of the English language, arithmetic, and in the case of females, playing with the work be taught at the school, and that English grammar, English history, and geography, if taught at all, be taught as class subject. And that by the rules of the school, no child receive any religious instruction to which the parent or guardian of such child objects, or be present when such instruction is given at school. Discretion to board to refuse and call to assist schools in certain cases. The board means discretion, refuse to make a grant or make a less grant than, but for this section, the board rules would require or withhold either altogether or for a time, the whole or any part of any grant already made to any school, where the board considers the establishment and existence of the school superfluous by reason of the existence of another school in its vicinity, or where the school yields a profit to its proprietor or is able to support itself, or where the board has reason to believe that the school fees have been reduced in consequence of the prospect of government assistance, or where the managers have not properly maintained the school buildings in a good state of repair or in good sanitary condition to satisfaction of the board, or have not duly paid any of the expenses of the school, or where the managers have failed to comply with any of the requirements of the board rules, or where a manager or teacher of the school has falsified any record required by the board rules to be kept at the school, or any return or information required by the board rules to be furnished by the managers or teachers of the schools, or where the board has reason to apprehend that money granted in aid of the school will be misapplied or not properly applied. Power to board to differentiate rates of grant in aid of schools. It shall be lawful for the board to fix different rates of grants for infant schools, primary schools, secondary schools, and industrial schools respectively, and also in respect of different degrees of excellence in schools. And in respect of different subjects of instruction, liability of managers of assisted schools to refund grant monies in certain cases. The managers of every assisted school shall be liable to refund to the board all monies paid to them in respect of any grant made under this ordinance or the board rules in aid of the school, where by reason of any of the conditions expressed in section 13 of this ordinance not having been fulfilled in the case of the school, such grant should not have been made, or where any manager or teacher of the school shall have willfully and knowingly made any false representation, written or oral, for the purpose of inducing the making of such grant, or where such monies or any part thereof shall have been misapplied, or where the requirement of the board was reference to either the books to be kept at assisted schools or the statistics to be furnished by the managers or teachers of such schools shall not have been satisfied in relation to such grant. Power to board to forfeit teacher's certificate. If any person certificated by the board as a teacher shall be convicted of crime or be found guilty by the board of disreputable or immoral conduct, or having willfully and knowingly falsified any school record or return, or uttered to the board or made any false declaration or statement, written or oral, with reference to the fulfillment in the case of any school of any of the conditions expressed in section 13 of this ordinance, the board may declare any certificate granted by it to such person to be forfeited, and thereupon such certificate shall be void all intents and purposes. Assisted schools to receive pauper and alien children. Every assisted school shall be bound to receive pauper or alien children assigned to it by the governor in such numbers and upon such terms as may be fixed by the board. Application of ordinance to government schools. It shall be lawful for the governor in council to declare that all or any of the provisions of this ordinance and of the board rules respectively shall apply to all or any government schools, that is to say, schools under the entire control of the government in the colony, and every government school comprised in such any declaration shall, as from any date specified in that behalf in such declaration, be subject to the provisions comprised in such declaration in the same manner as if such government school were a private school. Assistance to training institutions. The board may make a grant in aid of any training institution in respect of every teacher trained at such institution who shall have received at least 2 years instruction thereat, and who, having obtained from the board a certificate of general competency as a teacher, shall have actually taught for no less than 2 years at either an assisted school or a government school in the colony. Establishment of scholarships. The board may, if it shall think fit, grant scholarships to children who shall have attended primary schools, including to enable such children to attend secondary schools, whether in the colony or elsewhere, to natives of the colony who shall have attended either primary or secondary schools in the colony, to enable them to receive, whether in the colony or elsewhere, a course of technical instruction with a view to the development of the natural resources of the colony, and, moreover, to such persons that for such purposes as it shall, by a vote of not less than 3/4 of its members from time to time, determine, and it may make rules and conditions with regard to the granting and holding of such scholarships. The board may sue and be sued in the name of the Queen's Advocate of any person whom the Governor shall have nominated in that behalf in writing. Report of grant made by board to be laid before the Legislative Council. The Colonial Secretary shall once in every year lay before the Legislative Council a report of all grants made by the board during the previous year, saving of rights of Governor. Nothing in this ordinance contained shall be construed to debar the Governor from establishing or maintaining schools which shall be under the entire control of the government. Short title. This ordinance may be cited for all purposes as the Education Ordinance 1887. Commencement of Ordinance. This ordinance shall not come into operation unless and until the Governor shall notify by proclamation that it is Her Majesty's pleasure not to disallow the same, and subject as aforesaid, it shall come into operation on the first day of July 1887, or so soon after that day as such proclamation as aforesaid shall be made. Passed in the Legislative Council 30th of May 18. In the year of our Lord 1887. Next ordinance. An ordinance to legalize the detention of a certain political prisoner, 2nd of August 1887. Whereas for some time previous to and until the separation of the settlement of Lagos from the Gold Coast Colony and the erection of the said settlement into an independent colony, a certain person of the name of Enemiel Kwo, formerly King of Wassaw of the protected territories of the said Gold Coast Colony, was under detention as a political prisoner in the town of Lagos. And whereas the said Enemiel Kwo has remained under such detention from the separation and erection aforesaid until the present time. And whereas it is not certain that such last mentioned detention has been lawful. And whereas it is expedient to legalize the same. And whereas it is also expedient that the said Enemiel Kwo be further detained in the colony of Lagos during Her Majesty's pleasure. Enactment. Be it therefore enacted by the Governor of the Colony of Lagos, Cornelius Alfred Maloney, Esquire, CMG, with the advice and consent of the Legislative Council thereof as follows. Past detention of Enemiel legalized. Detention of Enemiel Kwo as a political prisoner in the colony of Lagos from the erection of the said colony into an independent colony until the present time shall to all intents and purposes be deemed to have been lawful. It shall be lawful for the Governor to order the further detention of the said Enemiel Kwo during Her Majesty's pleasure in any place within the colony of Lagos, and from time to time to order the removal under detention of the said Enemiel Kwo from any one place in the said colony to any other place in the said colony, there to be further detained during Her Majesty's pleasure. The Governor's warrant to be sufficient authority for such detention. Subject to the provisions of this ordinance, a warrant in that behalf under the hand and seal of the Governor addressed to any person having legal charge of any of Her Majesty's prisons in the colony, or to the District Commissioner for any district of the colony, or to any other person or persons, shall be sufficient authority for the person or persons to whom the same shall be addressed to detain the said Enemiel Kwo according to the tenor thereof, and a warrant in that behalf under the hand and seal of the Governor addressed to the master of any ship or to any other person or persons whomsoever shall be a sufficient authority to the person or persons to whom the same shall be addressed to convey the said Enemiel Kwo under detention to any place named in that behalf in such warrant, and there to deliver him into such custody as may be expressed in that behalf in such warrant. Statement of course in such warrant. Every allegation or recital in any such warrant as aforesaid of its being expedient that the said Enemiel Kwo be imprisoned or detained under the provisions of this ordinance or to the like effect shall be deemed for all purposes whatsoever to be a sufficient statement in such warrant of a just cause of commitment to prison of the said Enemiel Kwo. Custody of Enemiel Kwo. The said Enemiko shall, if and while detained under or by virtue of this ordinance in any of Her Majesty's prisons in the colony, be deemed to be in the lawful custody of the person having legal charge thereof, or if and while detained under or by the virtue of this ordinance in any other place within the colony, shall be deemed to be in the lawful custody of the district commissioner for the district within which such place shall be situated. Penalty for aiding Enemiko to escape. Any person aiding or attempting to aid said Enemiko to escape or attempt to escape from any place where he shall be detained under or by virtue of this ordinance shall be liable on conviction thereof before the Supreme Court of the colony to imprisonment, with or without hard labor, for any term not exceeding 2 years, habeas corpus, no writ of habeas corpus or other process to call in question the legality of the detention under or by virtue of this ordinance of the said Enemiko shall be of any effect whatsoever within the colony. Interpretation of terms. In this ordinance, the colony means colony of Lagos, and the term governor includes every person for the time being administering the government of the colony. Short title. This ordinance may be cited as the Detention of Enemiko Ordinance 1887. It was passed on the 2nd of August 18 in the year of our Lord, as usual, 1887. Joe Starland was the clerk of the Legislative Council at this particular point, and Cornelius Alfred Maloney was the governor. An ordinance to legalize the detention in the colony of certain political prisoners, 2nd of August 1887. Whereas for some time previous to and until the separation of the settlement of Lagos from the Gold Coast Colony and the erection of the said settlement into an independent colony, certain two persons named respectively Dumbuya and B. Jack, deported to the said Gold Coast Colony under or by virtue of a certain ordinance of the Governor of the West African Settlement and the Legislative Council of Sierra Leone, dated 26th day of October 1881, and received in the said Gold Coast Colony under or by virtue of a certain ordinance of the legislature thereof, dated 8th day of May 1882, were detained as political prisoners in the town of Lagos. And whereas the said Dumbuya and B. Jack have remained under such detention from separation and erection aforesaid until the present time, and whereas it is not certain that such last mentioned detention has been lawful. And whereas it is expedient to legalize the same, and whereas it is also expedient that the said Dumbuya and B. Jack be further detained in the colony of Lagos during Her Majesty's pleasure. Be it therefore enacted by the Governor of the Colony of Lagos with the advice and consent of the Legislative Council thereof as follows. The detention of Dumbuya and B. Jack as political prisoners in the Colony of Lagos from the erection of the said colony into an independent colony until the present time shall to all intents and purposes be deemed to have been lawful. It shall be lawful for the Governor to order the further detention of the said Dumbuya and B. Jack during Her Majesty's pleasure in any place within the Colony of Lagos, and from time to time to order their removal under detention from any one place in the said colony to any other place in the said colony, there to be further detained during Her Majesty's pleasure. Subject to the provisions of this ordinance, a warrant in that behalf under the hand and seal of the governor addressed to any person having legal charge of any of Her Majesty's prisons in the colony, or to the district commissioner for any district of the colony, or to any other person or persons, shall be a sufficient authority for the person or persons to whom the same shall be addressed to detain said Dumbuya and B. Jack, according to the tenure thereof, and a warrant in that behalf under the hand and seal of the governor addressed to the master of any ship, or to any other person or persons whomsoever, shall be a sufficient authority to the person or persons to whom the same shall be addressed to convey the said Dumbuya and B. Jack under detention to any place named in that behalf in such warrant, and there to deliver him into such custody as may be expressed in such warrant. Every allegation or recital in any such warrant as aforesaid of its being expedient that the said Dumbuya and B. Jack to be imprisoned or detained under the provision of this ordinance or to the like effect shall be deemed for all purposes whatsoever to be a sufficient statement in such warrant of a just cause of commitment to prison of the said Dumbuya and B. Jack. The said Dumbuya and B. Jack shall, if and while detained under or by virtue of this ordinance in any of Her Majesty's prisons in the colony, be deemed to be in the lawful custody of the person having legal charge thereof, or if and while detained under or by virtue of this ordinance in any other place within the colony, shall be deemed to be in the lawful custody of the district commissioner for the district within which such place shall be situated. Any person aiding or attempting to aid the said Dumbuyan, be Jack, or either of them to escape or attempt to escape from any place where they or he shall be detained under or by virtue of this ordinance shall be liable, on conviction thereof, before the Supreme Court of the colony, to imprisonment with or without hard labour for any term not exceeding 2 years, no writ of habeas corpus or other process to call in question the legality of detention under or by virtue of this ordinance of the said Dumbuyan, B. Jack, or either of them shall be of any effect whatsoever within the colony. In this ordinance, the colony means the colony of Lagos, and the term governor includes every person for the time being administering the government of the colony. This ordinance may be cited as the Dumbuyan B. Jack Detention Ordinance 1887, passed in the Legislative Council on the 2nd of August in the year of our Lord, as usual, 1887. An ordinance to provide for the service of the colony of Lagos during the year 1888. Whereas it is requisite to make provision for the expenses of the civil government of the colony of Lagos during the year 1888, be it enacted by the governor of the colony of Lagos with the advice and consent of the Legislative Council thereof as follows. The treasurer may, on the warrant of the governor officer administering the government, pay out of the revenue of the colony of Lagos a sum of £62,735.15.11, and apply the same to the service of the year ending on the 31st day of December 1888. The said sum of £62,735.15.11 shall be appropriated in the manner and for the purposes expressed in the schedule annexed to this ordinance, and the said schedule shall be deemed part of this ordinance in the same manner as if it had been contained in the body thereof. The sums granted by this ordinance are for the services which come in course of payment within the year ending on the 31st day of December 1888, and any balances remaining misused at the close of the year shall lapse and not be available for meeting payments in a subsequent year. This ordinance may be cited as the Supply Ordinance, Colony of Lagos 1888, passed in the Legislative Council, 2nd of August, in the year of our Lord, 1887. So, on the 4th of October, 1887, a circular was passed. There was a notice in the Gazette of Lagos Colony, number 109 in the Gazette of October 1887. Whereas by Ordinance number 2 of 1865, entitled An Ordinance to Repeal an Ordinance of the 9th day of April 1863, that's 1863, entitled An Ordinance for the Better Preservation of the Town of Lagos from Fire, and to make regulations with respect to the roofing of buildings in the town of Lagos, it is enacted that from and after its publication, it shall not be lawful for any person to cover or roofing or to renew or repair the roof or covering of any habitation, store, kitchen, shed, or other building with any material other than slate, metal, bricks, tiles, asphalt, concrete, or other uninflammable substance, if such habitation, store, kitchen, shed, or other building be situated in the town of Lagos, in the district lying between the river and the west side of that portion of Broad Street already formed and of a line in continuation thereof where Broad Street is yet unformed, running in the same direction both towards the northern and southern ends thereof, and whereas it is further enacted by the said ordinance that any person who shall knowingly and willfully act in any way contrary to the provision of this ordinance shall on conviction thereof before two or more justices of the peace or the stipendiary magistrate be liable to a penalty of any sum not exceeding £10, or to be imprisoned for 1 month with or without hard labour. Notice is hereby given that proceedings may be commenced under the said ordinance against all persons so knowingly and willfully acting in any way contrary to the provision of the said ordinance in that part of the town of Lagos between the river, Marina side, and Broad Street aforesaid, or who, having so knowingly and willfully acted, do not forthwith cause any such inflammable roofing as aforesaid to be removed and to be replaced by uninflammable roofing, by command the acting colonial secretary E.G. Woolhouse. An ordinance for the amendment of the law relating to the constabulary of the colony of Lagos, 31st of December 1887, under Governor Cornelius Alfred Moloney, Esquire. Whereas it is expedient to amend and repeal Section 13 of Ordinance No. 3 of 1879 relating to the constabulary of the colony of Lagos. And whereas, previous to and since the separation of the settlements of Lagos from the Gold Coast colony and the erection of the said settlement into an independent colony, certain persons have been enlisted as constables for the first time of their engagement to serve in the constabulary for 6 years. And whereas it appears that such enlistment for such period were and are unlawful, and whereas it is expedient to legalize the said enlistment. Be it therefore enacted by the governor of the colony of Lagos, with the advice and consent of the Legislative Council thereof as follows. Section 13 of the Gold Coast Constabulary Ordinance 1879 shall be and is hereby repealed. Every constable shall be enlisted for the first term of his engagement to serve in the constabulary for 6 years, to be reckoned from the day on which the recruit shall have been finally approved for service and taken on the strength of the force. All enlistment or engagement of persons to serve in the constabulary of the colony of Lagos, made or entered into before the passing of this ordinance for a period of 6 years, shall to all intents and purposes be deemed to have been lawful. This ordinance shall be construed with and read as part of the Gold Coast Constabulary Ordinance 1879. This ordinance may be cited as Gold Coast Constabulary Ordinance Amendment Ordinance 1887, passed in Legislative Council 31st of December in the year of our Lord, 1887. And so, under rules that we have for 31st of December 1887, rules for the guidance of officers receiving permission to reside at the sanitarium. No occupation will be allowed except under permission from the governor through the colonial secretary. Each official will be provided with a fully furnished bedroom on arrival. The governor's bedroom and office, viz. The two rooms on the west side of the house, are on no account to be occupied except under the governor's written authority, and will be except when open to be aired and cleaned, kept locked. A small library of books is provided. Books damaged or lost will be charged at 50% of our cost price to the officers responsible or during whose residence a loss may occur. Contribution of books to the library can be made by officers. On an officer's arrival, he will have issued to him a pair of sheets, two pillowcases, two towels, a mosquito curtain, and such articles of plate, table, and household linen and crockery as may be deemed requisite and sufficient. For these articles, as well as for the kitchen utensils and bedroom furniture, the officer will be personally responsible, and he will be required to hand them over to the caretaker in good condition at departure. He will be also charged with the expense of washing the table and household linen used during his stay at the sanitarium. On leaving, officers will see that all the rooms occupied by them, including reception room and kiosk and out offices, are left in clean and proper order by their servants. It must not be forgotten that there are no servants in the house to perform the duty. Officers are generally requested, in view of the liberal provision made for their comfort by the government, to endeavor to preserve and respect the property confided to their care and see that their servants do the same. Tanks are erected to afford the supply of rainwater. 1 gallon per day is the quantity allowed for each officer for drinking purposes. For baths, toilet, and cooking purposes, officers must supply themselves by means of their servants from the adjoining well, the water of which is remarkably good. For the operation of these rules, the head of the Public Works Department will be held responsible. By command, the Acting Colonial Secretary, H. Higgins. And lastly, we are going to be looking at... Okay. Before we go to the last ordinance, additional rules under Lagos Pilotage and Harbour Ordinance No. 3, 1878. All pilots shall, when navigating the channel over the bar into or out of this port, pay strict attention to the soundings. They shall provide themselves with and use properly marked lead lines and have them examined from time to time. Pilots navigating the harbour and bar shall report in writing to the harbour master all changes which they may find to have taken place in the channels, current or depth of water on the course taken when crossing the bar or navigating the port. Such reports shall be made within the 48 hours of the discovery of such changes and co. Being observed, such changes and co. shall also be included in the monthly report sheet sent to the harbour master's office at the end of each month. A tide gauge will be placed inside the bar near to the signal station and will be under supervision of the beach signalman, who will signal the rise and fall of the tide as follows. commencement of rise, end flag hoisted half mast. High water, end flag mast headed and kept there until the water begins to fall. All pilots shall make passage over the bar at least 3 times within the month, or their licenses will be suspended and they will be compelled to pass a fresh examination before their licenses are renewed. Pilots will produce their lead lines for examination whenever called upon to do so by the harbour master. Pilots will observe the rules which have been in operation since 1st of June 1863 for navigating narrow waters as laid down by the Board of Trade. Such rules can be seen at the harbour master's office during office hours. One steamer or sailing vessel, when approaching another coming in the opposite direction, will keep on that side of the fairway or channel, which is on our own starboard hand. In thick or foggy weather, every steamer proceeding outwards will give one blast of the steam whilst at intervals. Every steamer entering the port will give 2 blasts at intervals. In all cases where 2 or more steam or sailing vessels are making for the bar, the vessel or vessels bound for the port being at or near the fairway buoy shall stop and allow the outward bound vessel or vessel to proceed if such outward bound vessel or vessels is or are between the beacon or Bruce Point and the bar. Where such outward bound vessel or vessels shall be on the legal side of such beacon and the inward bound vessel or vessels or vessels at or near the fairway buoy, then such outward bound vessel shall stop and allow the inward bound vessel or vessels to proceed. If any pilot commits a breach of any of the foregoing rules, he shall for such breach incur a penalty not exceeding the sum of £40 to be recovered as provided under section 51 of the Pilotage Ordinance No. 3 of 1878, and such pilot shall be liable to have his license suspended or revoked by the governor. Nothing in this rule shall exonerate any ship of the master or pilot thereof in charge at the time from keeping a proper lookout of the neglect of any precaution which may be required by the ordinary practice of seamen or by the special circumstances of the case. Passed on the 3rd of November 1887 by the Legislative Council. And lastly, we are going to be looking in detail the rules under Education Ordinance No. 3 of 1887, which we briefly read before, passed by the Board of Education on the 31st day of December 1887. So remember that we read the ordinance that was passed on about education, and then these are now the rules by the Board of Education, which was instituted through this ordinance, Education Ordinance. So there are a few chapters: interpretation, examinations of schools to be assisted on the ordinance, examinations for teacher certificates, the granting and of teacher certificate, applications for grant in aid of schools, allowance of grant in aid of schools, rates of grants in aid of schools, records to be kept at assisted schools, statistics to be furnished by managers of assisted schools, grant in aid of training institutions, reduction of grant in aid made by the board, payment of grant in aid made by the board, application of grant in aid made by the board, scholarships, duties of education officers appointed under the ordinance, and miscellaneous. Yeah, so let's get right into the last part of this episode. In these rules, except where and insofar as something in the subject or context requires some different connotation or meaning, the ordinance means the Education Ordinance 1887. The terms the governor, sub-inspector of school, sub-inspector, the board rules, managers, school, assisted school, infant school, primary school, secondary school, and training institution have the same respective connotations and meanings as in the ordinance. The inspector of schools or the inspector means the inspector of schools appointed on an ordinance and includes his substitute or deputy under number 47 of these rules. Industrial school means school at which no less than 25% of the pupils devote at least 10 hours a week to manual labor as defined in section 2 of the ordinance. If you remember that we read handcraft, agricultural work, and for there were also options for female students as well. The standard means the standards comprising Schedule A to these rules. School year means period from the first day of January to the 31st day of December in any year, both days being included. Attendance means attendance at school of a pupil. In the case of infant schools, during no less than an hour and a half in either a morning or an afternoon, and in all other cases during no less than 2 hours in either a morning or an afternoon. An average attendance means number found by dividing the number of openings, admitting of attendances of a school during a school year into the number of attendances at school during the same school year. Examinations of schools to be assisted under the ordinance. So this is second section of the rules made by the Board of Education. The Inspector of Schools shall annually hold an examination of schools with a view to schools being assessed under the ordinance and the board rules. At every such examination, every pupil of any school who shall be under instruction in any of the standards and shall be presented for examination in such standard shall be examined in such standard. The standards of examination for infant schools shall be numbers 1 and 2, and for primary schools, exclusively of any infant schools forming part of them, numbers 3 to 9. Inclusively of the standards, female pupils shall be examined in plain needlework. Pupils of industrial schools under instruction in industrial subjects may be subjected to such tests in such subjects as the inspector shall think fit. Pupils of secondary schools may be examined in numbers 6 to 9. Or all or any of the subjects comprising Schedule B to these rules, and pupils of any school may be examined in elementary hand drawing, provided that no pupil shall be examined in any standard in which he shall already have passed at any examination of schools held under the board rules or in any lower standard. The inspector shall not be restricted in examining any school under the board rules to the use of books ordinarily used in the school, but may use any other books of approximately equal difficulty. The inspector shall give to the managers of every school to be examined at any such examination as aforesaid, no less than 7 days notice of the day fixed by him for the examination thereat of such school. The managers or teachers of every such school as last aforesaid shall at such examination as last aforesaid present, subject to just exceptions, every pupil of the school who shall be under instruction in any of the standards to be examined in such standard, provided that no pupil shall be presented for examination in any standard in which he shall already have passed at an examination of schools held under the board rules or in any lower standard. The managers or teachers shall also, previously to the examination, furnish the inspector with a list of the pupils of the school whom they shall propose presenting at such examination for examination standards, which list shall be in the form given in Schedule C to these rules or in the form as near to such form as may be, and shall contain, with reference to such pupils as last aforesaid, the particulars 2 to 9, inclusively comprising that form. In the case of the infant schools, it will not be necessary for the names of children to be stated in the form, the grant being awarded upon the average attendance and general result. The inspector may, for the sake of convenience, fix other hours for examining any school under the board rules than the usual school hours of such school, and he may leave out of account any examination work done at any examination of schools held under the board rules at any opening of any school by any candidate who shall have arrived late at such opening. The inspector shall apply a scale of marks to the work of every candidate examined at any examination of schools held under the board rules in each subject in which such candidate shall have examined thereat, and 1/2 of the number of marks obtainable for such subjects shall be sufficient, and less than 1/2 of such marks shall be insufficient for a pass in such subjects, provided that no marks shall be given to any candidate for any work done by him in any standard in which he shall already have passed at examination of schools held under the board rules or in any lower standard, provided that also that no pupil examined in any of the standards shall be deemed for any purpose to have obtained a pass in such examination or in any subjects in which he was examined thereat, unless he shall have obtained 0.5 marks in 2 of the 3 subjects of reading, writing, and arithmetic, of which reading shall be 1. After every such annual examination, as aforesaid, the inspector shall furnish the board such a report in writing as shall enable it to determine the amount, if any, to be awarded under the ordinance and board rules to each school included in the examination. The third section, examinations for teacher certificates. The inspector of schools shall in every year hold at least one examination of candidate for teacher certificate. The standards of examination for teacher certificates shall be those comprising Schedule D to these rules. Candidates for teacher certificate shall give to the inspector no less than 7 days notice of their candidature. The fourth section, the granting and co of teacher certificates. The board may refuse to award a teacher certificate in any case in which it is not certified that the applicant is a person of good character. Subject to the last preceding rule, every person who shall have passed a successful examination in the first of the standards comprising Schedule D to this rule shall be entitled to receive from the board a first-class teacher certificate. Every person who shall have passed a successful examination in the second of those standards shall be entitled to receive from the board a second-class teacher certificate. Every person who shall have passed a successful examination, the third of two standards shall be entitled to receive from the board a third class certificate. And every person who shall have passed a successful examination, the fourth of these standards, those standards shall be entitled to receive from the board the fourth class teacher's certificate. The board may grant honorary teacher certificate to fit and competent persons educated elsewhere than in the colony, and such certificates, when granted, shall be in every respect equivalent to first class teacher certificates obtained under the last preceding rule. The board may grant special honorary teacher certificate to persons holding from the board honorary or first class teacher certificate whom the inspector shall certify to have conducted or taught at either an ancestral school or a government school in the colony with credit and success for 2 years at least, provided that the board shall have power at any time to withdraw such honorary certificate in case of serious misconduct or continued inefficiency of the person to whom it was granted. Teacher certificate shall be in the respective forms comprising said E to these rules and shall be signed by the governor. The fourth section, applications for grant in aid of schools. Applications for grant under the ordinance and board rules in aid of schools shall be made to the board in writing no earlier than September, no later than October in each year for the following. Such applications may be addressed in quote to the Board of Education, care of the Colonial Secretary, Lagos. Every such application shall be accompanied by a declaration signed by the managers of the school in respect of which application is made that conditions 1 and 4 and in the case of primary schools, conditions 6, 7, and 8 of section 13 of the ordinance are fulfilled in the case of the school, and also by statement, likewise signed by the managers in the form given in Schedule F to these rules, or in a form as near to such form as may be of both the revenue and credits and the expenditure and debits of the school for the year, school year preceding the date of the application. Sixth section, allowance of grant in aid of school. Before any grant shall be made under the ordinance and board rules in aid of a school, it shall be necessary that the board be certified that the conditions required in the case of the school by section 13 of the ordinance are fulfilled in the case of the school, and the managers of the school have furnished the board a proper and sufficient statement of both the revenue and credits and the expenditure and debits of the school for the preceding school year, that at the last preceding examination of schools held under the board rules, not less than 70% of the pupils of school under instruction in any of the standards were presented for examination in such respective standards, and no more than 40% of such presentees failed to satisfy the examiner in subjects of reading and either writing or arithmetic, and that every teacher hold from the board a teacher certificate, and in the case of second, third, and fourth class teacher certificate holders, has been reported to the board by the inspector as competent to perform the duties actually performed by him in school. Seventh section, rates of grant in aid of schools. Subject to provisions of the ordinance and board rules, the board shall annually make grant in aid of schools. The rates of such grants shall be the respective rates specified in numbers 23 to 32, inclusively of these rules, provided that no pupil of a school examined that any examination of schools held under the board rules shall be deemed for any purpose whatsoever to have passed or to have obtained the pass, either in aid of the standards or in aid of subjects of reading, writing, arithmetic, grammar, history, geography, and needwork, unless he shall at such examination have obtained at least half marks in two of the three subjects of reading, writing, and arithmetic, of which reading shall be one, and that no paper shall be presented more than twice in the same standard. The board shall, for every pass obtained in any of the standards at any examination of schools held under the board rules in any one of the subjects mentioned in section 13, subsection 6 of the ordinance, grant 2 shillings in aid of the school of a successful candidate. The board may, for every pass at any such examination as aforesaid in elementary freehand drawing, grant 1 shilling in aid of the school of the successful candidate. The board shall make, in aid of every school of which the inspector shall have reported the organization and discipline as good, an additional grant of 6 pence a head on the average attendance of the school, where the organization and discipline of any school shall have been reported by the inspector to be good. The board shall make, in aid of such school, if at such examination as aforesaid, 60% of the pupils of the school presented for examination in standard shall have passed, an extra grant at the rate of 6 pence for each such pass. If 70% shall have passed, an extra grant at the rate of 1 shilling for each such pass. If 80% shall have passed, an extra grant at the rate of 1 shilling and 6 pence for each such pass. And if 90% shall have passed, an extra grant at the rate of 2 shillings for each such pass. The board may make, in aid of every school, a grant not exceeding 2 shillings a head upon the average attendance. The board may grant in aid of any school a sum not exceeding 1/4 of the amount shown by the managers of such school by means of vouchers or otherwise, to the satisfaction of the board to have been expended in the maintenance of the buildings, furniture, books, and apparatus of the school during the preceding school year. In the case of the newly established school, the board may, upon similar proof being given about the sum not exceeding 1/8 of the cost of the buildings, furniture, books, and apparatus of the school. In the case of infant schools, the board may, in lieu of all other grants, grant 4 shillings a head upon the average attendance in aid of every school reported as fair by the inspector, 5 shillings a head upon the average attendance in aid of every school reported as good by the inspector, and 6 shillings a head upon the average attendance in aid of every school reported as excellent by the inspector, provided that where the board shall elect to apply this rule, no grant shall be made in aid of any infant school not reported by the inspector as either fair, good, or excellent. The board may make, in aid of every industrial school, in lieu of all other grants, a grant not exceeding 25 shillings in respect of a child receiving industrial instruction at the school. In addition to the grants specified in Rules 24, 25, 26, 27, and 28, additional grants may be made in aid of secondary schools at rates not exceeding the following: 4 shillings in respect of every pupil marked as fair, 5 shillings in respect of every pupil marked as good, and 6 shillings in respect of every pupil marked as excellent, as a result of an examination that the board rules in standard 6 to 9 or in any of the subjects comprised in Schedule B to these rules. The board may award special grants of £30, £20, and £15 respectively to the 3 schools of which, at an examination of primary schools under the board rules, the pupils shall have obtained the highest percentage of passes in the standard. Section 8. Records to be kept at assisted schools. At every assisted school, the following records shall be kept to the satisfaction of the inspector, viz. A register of admissions, progress and withdrawals, a register of attendances and school fees, a summary register, timetables, a logbook, and an account book. The registers, viz. The register of admissions, progress and withdrawals, a register of the attendances and school fees, and the summary register shall be kept in respective forms given in Schedule G to these rules, with such variations as shall from time to time be sanctioned by the board. The managers of every assisted school shall produce the records of the school for inspection by the inspector, the sub-inspector, any member of the board, whensoever required so to do. Section 9. Statistics to be furnished by managers of assisted schools. The managers of every assisted school shall furnish the board a statement of the revenue and assets and of the expenditure and liabilities of the school for every school year during which they shall have received from the board any monies in respect of any grant made by the board in aid of the school. Such statements shall be in the form given in Schedule F to these rules, as near thereto as may be, and shall be furnished the board within 6 calendar months from the expiration of the school year during which such money shall have been received by the managers. Section 10. Grants in aid of training institutions. The board may grant a sum not exceeding £30 to every training institution in respect of each teacher trained at such institution, who shall have received at least 2 years instruction thereat, shall have taught for no less than 2 years at either an assisted school or a government school in the colony, and shall hold from the board a special honorary teacher certificate. Section 11. Reduction of grant in aid made by the board. If in any year the funds at the disposal of the board for educational purposes shall not be sufficient for payment in full of the amount earned in such year by schools and training institutions or either of them under the ordinance and board rules, such amount shall be liable to proportionate reduction. Section 12. Payment of grant in aid made by the board. Every payment in respect of any grant in aid made by the board shall be made to the managers of the school or training institution in aid of which such grant shall have been made. Section 13. Application of grant in aid made by the board. All monies paid to managers of any school or training institution in respect of any grant in aid made by the board shall be applied to the increase, improvement, or maintenance of buildings, furniture, apparatus, and to increasing the remuneration of the teachers of such school or institution, and to such other purposes as the board shall have sanctioned in their behalf, or to any one or more of such purposes, provided that if no special appropriation shall have been sanctioned by the board, 1/2 of total grants shall be devoted towards increasing salaries of teachers. Scholarships. Section 14. The board may grant to any child of good character and conduct who shall have attended primary schools or a primary school in the colony for 2 years at the least, and who shall have passed a satisfactory examination in number 5, number 6, and number 7 of standards, a scholarship of £10 a year to enable such child to attend the secondary school. provided that no such scholarship shall be granted for any longer period than 4 years, and that the amount to pay with respect of such scholarship shall not in any 1 year exceed £50, provided also that the board shall not award scholarships to children of well-to-do persons. Whenever the number of eligible candidates for such scholarships are exceed the number of scholarships to be granted, the claims of such candidates shall be decided by the examination. So, every such scholarship shall be tenable only so long as the holder thereof shall attend the secondary school and remain of good behavior, and the board may at any time suspend or withdraw any such scholarship without assigning any reason for doing so. The granting of any scholarship for any purpose other than that of enabling children to attend suitable schools and all particulars and conditions thereof shall in every instance depend upon special circumstances of the case. Section 15. Duties of education officers appointed under the ordinance. Inspector of schools shall in every year report to the board in writing upon all matters comprising Schedule H to these rules, and generally all such matters as it shall be expedient for the board to know, in order that it may be able to give effect to the purposes of the ordinance and the board rules or to any of them. Subject to the ordinance and the board rules, the inspector shall at all times act in accordance with any special directions that he may have received from the board. The board may appoint any fit and competent person to do, perform, and exercise respectively any of the duties, functions, and powers of the inspector under the board rules, and subject to any such appointment or in the absence of such appointment, the inspector may, with the sanction of the board, delegate any such duties, functions, and powers to any fit and competent person, provided that no special honorary teacher certificate shall be granted except upon the certificate of the inspector himself. All other educational officers and their substitutes shall act under the direction of the board, and subject to such directions or in the absence of such directions, under the direction of the inspector of schools. Section 16, miscellaneous. The language of the subject matter of every examination to be held under the board shall be English, and every such examination shall be conducted in English language, provided that pupils of a school who shall be properly presented for examination in any of the first four of the standards may, when as so far as the board shall express it so direct, be examined in either the Yoruba or the Popo instead of the English language. Every person duly authorized to act on behalf of any manager or trustee of a school or training institution shall be deemed to be representative of such manager or trustee under the board rules, and every member of the governing body of any school training institution and every person duly authorized to act on behalf of such governing body of any such member shall respectively be deemed to be representative under the board rules of such governing body. These rules may be cited for all purposes as the Education Rules 1887, passed by the Board of Education for the colony on the 31st day of December 1887, president of the board being Colonel Sir Alfred Moloney, the governor. So, the standards. So, for standard one, we have reading, writing, and arithmetic. For reading, for standard one, they have to know the alphabet, appearance and powers of the letters, combinations of two and of three letters, and writing, to write on blackboard or slate, small letters. Arithmetic, to know numbers up to 50, very simple mental calculations. For standard two, reading, writing, and arithmetic, to read sentences consisting chiefly of words of one syllable, to write on blackboard or slate, smaller capital letters. Knowledge of numbers up to 100, very easy calculations on slate or blackboard or mental. Standard 3, to read a short paragraph from a book not confined to words of one syllable. To copy correctly in round hand a few lines of print. To name the days of the week and months of the year. Addition and subtraction of numbers of no more than two figures. In addition, no more than 5 lines to be given, sums to be copied from blackboard. Standard 4, to read a short paragraph from an elementary reading book. To write on slate from dictation, no more than 10 common words commencing with capital letters. Copy books, large or half text hand, to be shown. Notation and numeration up to 10,000, simple addition and subtraction, multiplication and division tables. Standard 5, to read with intelligence a short paragraph from a more advanced reading book. To write on paper from dictation a passage of no more than 6 lines from a corresponding book. Read slowly once and then dictated in single words. Read slowly once and then dictated in single words. Copy books, large and half text hand, to be shown. Sums in simple rules as far as and including long division, money tables. Standard 6, reading, writing, arithmetic, grammar, history, and geography. To read with intelligence, a short paragraph from a yet more advanced reading book. To write on paper from the dictation a passage of no more than 6 lines from a corresponding book, read slowly once and then dictated a few words at a time. Copy books, capitals and figures, large and small hand to be shown. Sums in the compound rules, reduction, tables of weight and measures. Definition of the part of speech, ability to distinguish the part of speech in simple sentences. Apologies, history is now among standard 6. So geography, what we just said was a grammar. So geography now, size and shape of the world, geographical terms, illustrated by diagrams or reference to a map. Standard 7, reading, writing, arithmetic, grammar, history, geography. So standard 7 to 9. Reading, writing, arithmetic, grammar, history, geography. So standard 7 now. To read with intelligence and expression of a few lines of poetry or prose at the choice of the inspector. To write from dictation a short paragraph from some modern narrative. Read once and dictated a few words at a time. Copy books to be shown. Fractions, vulgar and decimal. Practice, simple and compound. To parse easy sentences. Elementary outlines of the history and geography of the British Empire. Or history of the Yoruba country. Geography of West Africa, easy questions on the geography of the British Isles. Standard 8, to read with intelligence and increased expression, a few lines of poetry and prose at the choice of the inspector. To write from memory the substance of a short story read out thrice, spelling, handwriting and grammatical construction to be considered, copy books to be shown, proportion and interest, simple and compound. To parse more difficult sentences, analysis of simple sentences. Outlines of the history and geography of the British Empire, geography of Europe and Africa, and standard 9, to read with intelligent appreciation from any book or periodical selected by the inspector, passages of ordinary difficulty. To write a theme or letter on an easy subject, composition, spelling and handwriting to be considered, copy books and other exercise books to be shown, discount and profit and loss with a general knowledge of the principles of averages and percentages, parsing analysis of compound and complex sentences, general questions in grammar, history and geography of the British Empire, and geography of the world. And lastly, we're reading Under Education Ordinance No. 3 of 1887 of the Colony of Lagos, scholarships, so the rules regulating their grant. The Board of Education may, for the purpose of enabling children who shall have attended primary schools in the colony to attend secondary schools, grant to any school of good character and conduct who shall have attended primary schools or a primary school in the colony for 2 years at least and who shall have passed a satisfactory examination in numbers 5, 6, and 7 of the standards, a scholarship of £10 a year to enable such child to attend a secondary school, provided that no such scholarship shall be granted for any longer period than 4 years and that the amount to pay in the respect of such scholarship shall not in any 1 year exceed £50, provided also that the board shall not award scholarships to children of well-to-do persons. Whenever the number of eligible candidates for such scholarships shall exceed the number of scholarships to be granted, the claims of such candidates shall be decided by examination. Every such scholarship shall be tenable only so long as the holder thereof shall attend the secondary school and remain of good behavior. And the board may at any time suspend or withdraw any such scholarship without assigning any reason for so doing. The granting of any scholarship for any purpose other than that of enabling children to attend secondary schools and all particulars and conditions thereof shall in every instance depend upon the special circumstances of the case. So guys, finally, we've come to the end of this episode. We hope you guys have enjoyed it. So this is basically ordinances from the year 1887 passed in the Legislative Council of Lagos Colony. If you're not following us on Instagram, we're on Instagram at the Facade Nigerian, THEFACADENIGERIA. We're on Twitter at Facade Nigeria, capital letters F and N, Facade Nigeria. Don't forget to share our podcast and episode. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe, turn on notifications. Legislative Council drops twice every month. We'll see you guys when next we see you. Bye guys.